In this episode, we explore the journey of two expats in Dubai who found a new lease on life through cycling. Meet Ramzi and Mark, the founders of Gaijin Cycling Group. Discover how their passion for cycling transformed into a lifeline, offering both physical and mental well-being amidst the city's chaos. Join us as we uncover the story behind Gaijin Cycling and its profound impact on their lives and community. Welcome, guys. Mark and Ramzi. Welcome to Expresso Podcast.
Nice to have you here.
Today, we're having a little conversation about your passion away from your daily life. And I'll start with how I met Mark. This goes back to a mutual friend.
Yeah, Victor. Shout out to Victor.
And we sat down, we had coffee, then I saw you again on a different occasion.
I tried to persuade you to get a shoe. We call it in the Philippines, budol, so yeah.
But yeah, you followed me on Instagram and then you saw that I have a podcast. And I knew about your crew as well. From when we first met.
Yes.
And I think there's a story to tell behind this whole thing.
Yeah. It is.
So where did it all start? How did it start? What?
You know what? We need to go way back.
Yeah.
So basically, Ramzi is the first guy that I knew that had bought a bike. So I think it's what year is that?
It was 2019. Yeah, I started cycling.
So I mean, at that time, I'm working in a sneaker store. So he'd buy sneakers as well.
Yeah.
So he's keep on bugging me to try cycling. Yeah. And I feel like cycling is for old guys.
Yeah.
So I didn't really go for it. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that we have another member. His name is Jude. So we had a joke. It's like, if he buy a bike, we'll get a bike and I'll get a bike. So it ended up, we have new bikes. Then there's one night, the epic night. Remember that?
No.
So, we had a group ride. So all of our friends did a ride in Medan. That time I'm still wearing
now I remember. Yeah, that infamous night.
Yes.
So basically what had happened was everyone was new to cycling and I've been in it for a while. And Mark, coming from streetwear, they were coming with baggy clothes, and in cycling that's a big no-no. Mid-ride, because Mark's shirt was pulling him back so much, you could see his eyes almost going like this. He's about to faint. I told him, here, take the sugar, because in cycling, we call this bonking.
Okay.
You know, when your sugar levels get so low from cycling so much, you just flat out faint. So I was trying to avoid that. But yeah, after that, Mark stopped wearing his baggy shirts.
And I became a believer for Lycra, so...
Lycra, yeah.
That's the start.
Everyone says no to Lycra in the beginning until they realize
but what happened after?
It grows on you.
But what happened after that is that...
It grows with you.
So basically, there's a lot of newbies there. So we had a little group chat. So we just decided to practice. I think we need to keep up with the regulars there because our speed's... we cannot even keep up, basically. Yeah. So we decided, okay, let's do a ride first. So initially, it's me, Jude, CJ, and Len. There's the four of us. So we just tried it. We enjoyed cycling. Then that's the time that Ramzi is there. Ramzi have, I think, Renz.
Renz, yeah. So we were a bunch of cliques that became one bigger clique.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, unfortunately enough, everyone got along so well. And then that's when Gaijin formed. It kind of came naturally. And the thing is, what's funny is that everyone is coming from some sort of streetwear or basketball background. Sneakers. Where we used to play basketball together. Yeah. And then a bunch of other guys who we used to play basketball with, probably Victor included, started hating me because I was the one picking him one by one.
I think we recruited two more, Hatem and Rami. Yes. Rami Afifi.
Yeah. bunch of people we used to play basketball with, one by one, we started converting them to cyclists until no one showed up on the basketball court.
He wasn't just trying to get me, like, grab a shoe. He was trying to, like, get a bike.
Get a bike, yeah. It's an addicting feeling, man. It is. Like, honestly. Yeah,
it is.
I already have enough expensive hobbies.
I know. So. I mean...
I can't.
That's why Gaijin is there. All of us, we all have expensive hobbies. What we do is we enable each other to spend and spend.
And like, where did it start for you, the whole cycling thing?
So for me, actually, in 2019, it started with triathlon. I want to give a shout out to Elena from my old company. Yeah, Lola. We call her grandmother because she's basically through me. She got everyone into cycling, but she was the CSR person in our company. And she told me, do triathlon. And the company actually paid for my classes. And a funny story is that it's been on my mind for a while now. And I was on my honeymoon in Philippines. We were in the middle of a houseboat in a lagoon. And I really wanted to do triathlon. And there was a restaurant probably like 300 meters away from the houseboat of water. I was hanging out with my wife and a couple of friends, and I just stood up and swam, and I just dived. I went full gas, and with zero form, I'm trying to make it to the restaurant, like, you know, breathing, trying to breathe left, right when you're not supposed to, and I just died on the restaurant floor. You see people eating, and I'm just going like that. And no, I mean, typically of me in triathlon, you have the three sports, right? There's swimming, right, cycling, and running. I fell in love with the most expensive part of the of the sport, the one where you can get all the gadgets and keep upgrading. And I know naturally it came to these guys as well that, oh, we can upgrade, we can look cool, and this and that, as well as, you know, the fun side of performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did you convince the other guys? How did you start picking and then convincing them?
I mean, I don't know, actually. I just started doing it on my own. And honestly, maybe it was like self-serving persuasion, because being alone in cycling, you know, it's very hard. First, any mistake you do with buying a bike, there's so many things that go into cycling that, you know, it would be good for someone to sort of take you under their wing until you learn the ropes. Yes. But for me, when I went into cycling in 2019, I felt very alone, especially cycling. It has like an air of elitism around it. And I was just convincing that, because I had like habits that took over from streetwear and whatsoever. Oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. And people kept telling me, why? Just ride your bike. I'm like, okay, I want to ride my bike, but I also want to feed my inner, I want to express myself. And so I just started talking to the guys. Oh, look, I'm doing... I used to visit his work all the time on a bike. Yeah. Like, I'm not here to buy shoes. I'm just showing you my bike. You know, and then he came, and, you know, we call him the mouth of the group because he knows how to convince people. And then once, you know, Mark gets wind of it, the rest will follow. Yeah,
I think I think everyone clicked as well, like initially.
Yeah, that's
That's the fun of it. Like, you have, you know, same common interest guys. You enjoy riding together. The main part is hanging out after, basically.
Yeah, when we used to play basketball, I used to enjoy the part where we sat on the bench more. I mean, we're getting old. Whenever we play basketball, you have a bruise here. Like, you know, your whole body is... knees clicking, body's hurting. You know, you wake up the next day as if you've been run over by a truck. But cycling, you get to hang out on the bike. You get to have coffee, chill with everyone. And as Mark said, everyone got along, and, you know, it's just, you're meeting friend of friends who, I guess they've been vetted by each other, and it just grew from there.
I think, like, we have a lot of guys got converted.
Yeah, yeah. Like, people who had, like, we have a chef, Jem. Like,
you indirectly built a community, basically.
Yeah.
We didn't even.
Because that was going to be my next thing. Like, okay, you guys started the whole cycling thing together as friends. You got people. But now I want to get into the whole group that you made.
Yeah.
You guys have a brand, you guys are sponsored. So
yeah,
where did that, how did that happen?
So
like you put the group together, and then where did the name come from?
So first, the group chat name is like unnamed.
We were unnamed.
We can't decide like
no name cycling group. Yeah, which was a good, perfectly good name, yeah. You know. But
so I think Jude is the one who.
Yeah, Jude, because well. A lot of, as we said, like a lot of the guys, they come from a creative background. Actually, we're the only two who, mm-hmm. I mean, he might have a skill. I have zero skills in creativity. I only have taste. Maybe that's a, yes. That's a skill. But the purpose of the group was to sort of unite outsiders.
Yeah.
So that's why we were coming up with a name that sort of
suits the mantra.
The mantra of like, making sure all outsiders are welcome, and that's why we came up with Gaijin. One, it sounds cool, and two, it means foreigner in Japanese.
And that time
or outsider, actually.
That time you feel like, you know, because if you go to the hangout area post ride, you see like the middle aged guys groups are there. You know, for us, we look different from them.
Yeah,
out of place.
But very out of place. Like
because we're a group. There's a group there. So we don't care because we're all together.
Yeah. So you have your own sense of belonging to to each other, rather than to the actual cycling community.
Yes, and I feel like the guys who saw us, the friends that saw us, like all the stories that we've been doing, so they got interested with the sport, and now they. They're doing, which is good because it's like paying it forward. So now they're also telling other friends to try the sport, which is it's really fun.
Which is the true purpose or mission of Gaijin and why we created it in the beginning is just to make sure no one's is intimidated to sort of start cycling, and you have a bunch of guys to sort of help you along. As I said, it's a very expensive sport, so it's better to not make mistakes in the beginning with buying your bike and stuff. Because for me, all my mistakes, like I bought a bike, I bought another bike because that bike was too big for me. I bought this part. So a group of guys to help you, you know, start your journey makes it stick, you know, and you're starting this sport to somewhat better your life, but also have fun
and you lose
doing
weight.
You lose weight quick. Part. I mean, yeah.
Actually, one of the reason why I do this is because I can
keep
eat whatever I want and still lose weight. So that's the thing.
Especially with your community's diet.
Yeah.
You guys inhale carbs.
Yeah.
Because I did spin classes for a month, and I lost like shit ton of weight. I've done the Kodra track with like friends and family for fun, but like needs a lot of conditioning. Like when I did the spin class, I was doing other group classes, and my stamina reached the point where I can go back to back classes. But then once I stopped, like now I can barely finish one class.
But how long did it take you to get to back to back classes?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the beauty of cycling. Yeah. That's why
consistency,
people...
Consistency, basically.
Yeah, because with basketball, you can... Like, at our age, you start a new sport. You can train, like, 4 years? You still wouldn't get to a point where you're good enough so that you can enjoy it. Yeah. With cycling, within a month... Actually, I can pick anyone off of the road right now, I mean, the street, and tell them, go cycle 40 kilometers, and they'll be like... That's too much, and then they'll be able to do it. And then next week, they'll be itching to go 80 kilometers, you know? So
I think also in cycling, you can also ride alone. Unlike if you play basketball, you need to get like 5 or 10 or 9
more
people.
Keep shooting until you get bored.
Exactly, yeah. That's another thing.
And then I noticed that you guys are sponsored by a few brands.
Yeah. So basically, here's the thing. So when we started, I reached out with... Like an Asian brand. I don't know if we can say that. Can we say the brands? So basically, it's Mountain. So Mountain is the first brand who gave us or like trusted us. So they gave us like a set of shirts.
Yeah.
So when we that's the time that we feel like we're a team.
Because
every one of us is wearing the same
Yeah.
shirts, you know.
They gave you a sense of belonging to, to something. Yeah.
So shout out to Montan.
Shout out.
And after that, what's the next MX tracks, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, we may not be literally like the, of course not literally, but we may not be the fastest group on the track, but without our control, anything we do, we're always very loud about it. That's why like Montan came with us, and I mean, sponsor is like a heavy word, but brands work with us from time to time because of the noise we make, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Mectrax, we worked with Mectrax to sort of design our, I mean, we designed the jersey, and then they gave the jerseys to us, and immediately they put us on their homepage.
Yes.
Oh, because the guys, the way they design jerseys is really cool. And of course, like, you know, in this region, none of no one was looking at jerseys the way we were, because we were coming
again, getting into it. It goes back to the fact that you guys have this street style background.
Yeah.
You have
the and the guys are all creatives, you know, so, and we all have like
they
good
technically
taste.
Got like a bunch of creatives to do something for them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we learned our lesson. Actually, we learned our lessons to partnerships after that. Yeah. But I mean, it's not even about that. It's just, it's not like we're in it for the money, right? Yeah. We're in it to sustain ourselves in the long run and work with brands who we like to work with as well.
We appreciate the things, the loudness you guys.
Exactly. And it's just because by working with these partnerships, one, it validates us. For us to be able to reach to a wider audience, because if I were like, if I can, I mean, I can't even count on one finger like how many people we've introduced to cycling, and to me that's our biggest accomplishment. Yes. Like we have so many guys that started cycling. I don't want to say because of us, but I, because I'm trying to stay humble, you know. But no, like we showed them the ropes, and then now they cycle more than us, you know. Yes. Make us feel jealous and stuff. Like, shout out Paolo right now. You know, he's riding that bike
every day.
He started with an aluminum bike, 2 weeks later carbon bike, you know. Full PNS jersey, those, the full kit costs like what, like 2k pop, and I'm sorry to his wife, you know.
Cycling now.
Well, that's his trick that we didn't learn. He got his wife into it as well.
You missed the train on that one for both of you.
My wife doesn't know how to ride a bike.
But going back to the sponsors, I think the biggest one that we didn't really expect is Adidas.
Yeah.
Initially,
you mentioned that last time we had the small conversation.
I mean, because I work in a sneaker community, so I know
it's crazy.
People there. So the thing is, like, we're on a small community, like all streetwear community or sneaker community. So, and majority of us are sneakerheads as well. So they keep on seeing us cycling, and like they're shocked, like, how come you have this guy with you as well? So I think they get curious, and I think Adidas also wants to bring Adidas cycling here in the region. So initially they gave us like a full set of gears, and we said like, okay, we're just gonna shoot it. Like we're the ones who's gonna do the shoot. So they posted it, and after a few months, shout out to Scarlett. Scarlett messaged me, and she told me that there's a project that she wants Gaijin to be with to be in, which is the Push for Change. So basically, there's a three city that they choose, and each city they have a specific team. So, for example, in London, they have Velocipossi, which is an LGBTQ team.
Knight Riders in New York.
Yes, Knight Riders in New York. And us here in the Middle East. And again, as a Filipino in the Middle East, you know, we didn't really expect that we would be there. And
to end our first year with a global campaign with, you know, Adidas.
Yes. So... there's like they did shoot, and I think that's an epic.
That was an epic shoot, man. It was a 16-hour shoot.
Yes,
and they riding our bikes.
The same,
same route, going back and forth. Yeah. And then for me, I ended the night because I was the voiceover for the commercial, And what we had to do, I don't know, did we sign an NDA for this? Whatever. At the end of the night, they were in, their hotel room was in Dera. And you know Dera, man. Yeah. Hustle and bustle of the city, beeping. Yes. They had to get like a noise-free voiceover from me. What they did was like a pillow fort and then put a towel over me, and I had to like, read the script in like this dark pillow fort of a thing and then do the voiceover at the end of like a 16-hour ride. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I did this.
Then I think the next one, is that the Marzocco?
La Marzocco, yeah.
No. Recta. So basically the next one, so there's a group or an underground group, Recta Silangan. It's just a Filipino brand or a Filipino cycling group. I reached out to them because I follow them. Initially, I just want to buy a cycling kit for them.
Yeah.
Then initially, we had a good rapport.
Yeah.
And I just told the guy, like, what if like we have something, like let's do something. And that's the... We had,
and I think it always starts with that simple conversation. Yeah. Like, what's the worst thing they could say? No.
Now you know why he's the mouth of the group. He's our sweet talker. You know?
So, and it's we didn't expect the. It's for me like having a project and seeing our own project being worn by Filipinos in the homeland is like rewarding for us.
Yeah.
And I think
I'm not sure about the numbers, but I think those were 200 jerseys. So that was, that's a big number to us. And knowing that strangers are wearing our jerseys that Jude designed, Jude is our creative director. It's like something else, you know? And like, it was just like, Gaijin was like a steam train that kept like, you know, becoming bigger. I was very proud of that moment. I mean, there was Adidas already, then Recta.
And I think the La Marzocco, again, shout out to Paolo. Initially, Paolo just joined cycling, so we just teach him the ropes. He enjoyed it. And we didn't even know that he's working La Marzocco. So that time, we're just behind the group, we're riding, we're just chatting. And I'm just telling him about the Recta Silangan collaboration, and he said, like, let's do something. So... that's the birth of that project. Yeah. So.
But again, like it's, La Marzocco is a coffee machine brand, and you know they have really, really high standards for their coffee machine, and that's what we're all about as well. You know, passion for like the small details. We wouldn't have worked with them unless it was a perfect collaboration. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of all the collaborations we've done so far, is that one, it's organic.
Yes.
Two, it made sense.
Maybe you can connect with Paolo.
Yeah.
You could have one episode with Paolo.
Definitely, though. Definitely. And the good thing about that is we never had to compromise our integrity as a cycling team, you know? I mean, it's not like we follow fame or whatsoever. Everything came naturally and... Yeah. You know, we're super happy with... Also, we're a bunch of lazy guys, you know. We wouldn't get off the couch to just, you know, work hard on something, to create something, unless it's something we really, really believe
meaningful,
in. Yeah, and meaningful, for sure. Thank you.
What was the biggest impact of... sorry if I butcher the name. Gaijin?
Gaijin, yes. Yeah.
What was the biggest impact on your life since it started?
For me, it's just... the peace of mind that I'm getting. Like, if I'm riding, I'm not thinking about anything. Like, I'm just there with my bike, enjoying the scenery. And after that, you're going to meet your friends, you know, have some chat, coffee.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Plus, again, health-wise, you're losing weight.
Not only that, mental health is a big, big, big impact on your mental health. Yeah. One... when you're cycling, those endorphins, being outdoors, breathing air, letting the sun like...
And we don't get a lot of that here.
You don't, exactly.
It's a fast-paced life. And funny enough, mental health has been a recurrent topic on every episode I've been having.
Yeah.
And it goes to tell you like we're suffering from our daily life.
For sure, man.
I think the fast pace is the issue. We don't take breaks. We're just constantly grinding, and it's just something that we need to be
aware
of.
In our dead time, we're on our phone, you know. The good thing about, the best part about cycling is, okay, you have to wake up early, but trust me, the fifth time you do it, you'll start to tell your alarm clock, can you ring already so I can go cycling? You go cycling, you're breathing fresh air, you're doing your socializing on the track and after, you meet with your friends, and you go to work at 9 p.m. By 9 a.m. By 9 a.m., you've already had your, you know, your time to relax. And then you go through your work day, and if you do nothing towards the end of the day, you won't feel like it's unproductive, you know? So, I mean, that's a major game changer. I mean, I try not to, like, push anyone, like, I meet to go cycling, but when I know it can really, like, improve, because, like, you know, you meet people in your workplace, everything, you can tell that they could use with...
An outlet, with
basically. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I try to push them, but... They already know me. Oh, Ramzi, yeah, he's just going to talk to you about bikes and stuff, or make you buy sneakers, or, like, you know, I'm already that guy, so I'm trying to
tone it down a
little bit. But it really helps. And with Gaijin in specific, like, one, we've built our, like, I haven't known these guys, what, more than, like, 3-4 years, but I feel really, really close to them. I mean, I wouldn't oppose to naming them as godfathers for my newborn child now, but I won't do that. I wanted to say something.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. No, it's fine. It's not why I mentioned it.
we were supposed to record last week, and then...
Surprise, baby. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like having the community... It's a blessing to all of us, because, you know, you said it yourself, you keep bringing it up, sense of belonging. It's more important than you know, especially for me as a half Filipino, half Jordanian kid, you know, growing up in Middle East, I was always an outsider.
Yeah.
So having...
personality crisis person.
Exactly. And I... Probably every podcast mentions third culture kid. I'm not going to mention being a third culture kid, but yeah, like it is a personality crisis, but being around the guys, you know, who probably felt like outsiders as well. It's just nice to have like a community around you to help you move along outside of cycling as well. Yeah.
And I think nowadays, like, especially for you, I've been seeing a lot of bike tracks, like a lot of facilitation for bikes. Like I've noticed that. Weird bridge over the Khair Road for Maidan. I've seen multiple places. It's crazy. It's getting better and better day
by
day.
Good.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think that's about it. That was a very interesting story. I give people the space basically to share.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody knows the story between you guys, your friends and family. But it's nice for this to go outside as well. And for me, I do this so I sort of put myself in the person that I'm having on the podcast shoes. And because I've always had these moments where, like, I'm driving on the road and I'm just like, there's other lives. Like, there's another person next to me, and that car has a completely different life. And I would love to know, like, what is his day like, you know? And I think that's just a fraction of your life, the whole...
Yeah,
cycling life.
You should try it.
I've been. You don't understand the amount of times I've saved bikes on my Dubizzle list.
This bike is for sale right now, and it looks like your size. It just doesn't have the pedals. We'll buy that for you.
No, I'm really looking into it. I had a friend as well. He's Jordanian, Palestinian, and we were looking at it, and he's like, "Let's go to Dragon Mart." I'm like, "No, bro."
Yeah,
I'm like, and I'm the same, by the way. I pay a lot of attention to details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can tell with this setup, mashallah.
And I'd like to do something once,
mm-hmm.
twice if I'm upgrading. Otherwise, if I'm gonna do something, I'll do it once, do it right. Like, save myself the headache. He's like, no, we'll go get a bike. We'll just bike, whatever. I'm like, no, man. I know the details. I know, because I used to ride BMX as well, mm-hmm. back when I was a kid, and I had like one of those generic bikes from a shop. But I knew like what goes into it. Like I knew each part because I had a close friend. He's still friends with me, and he used to tell me like this part is like 1,000 dirham. This part is like just the pedals is this much. The handles are and I'm just like, the grip. I'm like, bro, what?
Yeah, the grip.
And then as a kid,
shout out Lloyd.
When I was riding the skateboard, it was like 300 dirhams. But at the time, to go to my parents, like, hey, can I get a skateboard for like 300, 350? No. Like, and now I'm looking at it, I'm like, damn, I can buy all the skateboards that I want.
Now, yeah.
But I'm not at that age anymore where I can handle riding BMX. I was telling Mark just earlier when you were outside the room, like, I can land an ollie, but it will hurt.
You feel it afterwards.
And
bunny like, hop, yeah.
It used to be nice, like it used to be fun and all, but I think it's a good sport to get into. Honestly,
yeah, but the key to I still remember. Imagine how into cycling I am now. I asked my dad when I was in university to buy me a bike, and he bought me a Walmart bike. It is still parked in front of AUB, locked, because I ditched it. I just left it there because, you know, it wasn't fun. But if you do things the right way, sure, it'll be fun.
And actually, that's why we're here, basically. So, I mean, if ever you want to ride, like,
for sure.
Teach you the road. Don't buy a carbon bike. Carbon bike sucks. We'll get you good bikes. Alloys all the way.
Thank you guys so much for your time. Thank you for having me in your house, MZ.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Welcome. Please like, share, and subscribe.
Yes. Follow us.